Welcome.
We can govern without you, so.
That's right. We are the majority.
We are ready.
Uh-oh, Mark.
Go ahead. We almost conduct the whole meeting.
Watch out, we might.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, April 21st, Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting. Before we begin our regularly printed agenda, I would like to come to the podium and read a proclamation. And I would like to... Shirley Marshall, are you in the room? Would you please come up? Whereas Shirley Marshall was born on April 27th, 1920-something, in Hempstead, New York, and whereas guided by a deep inner core of strength, when faced with the inconceivable tragedy of losing both her husband and daughter, she rose to meet the challenge of raising two young daughters alone, and whereas she was the mother of the modern era with a vision to protect the water and environment and update zoning and buffers in Orange County. And whereas the Chapel Hill News christened her the Grand Dame of Orange County Government. And whereas she had a vision for a broader plan of what Orange County could be if Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsborough worked together. And whereas she embraced different opinions and recognized the value of engaging in conversations for the welfare of the county. And whereas in the midst of the battle to redo the land use plan for Orange County, she held informal get-togethers at her home to find common ground and ideas that were best for the entire county. And whereas, for many decades, her tireless dedication to the advancement and well-being of the citizens of Orange County has earned her respect, both personally and professionally. And whereas she has been a mentor, teacher, and inspiration to many public servants, and is often called upon by younger and older politicians alike for her wisdom. And whereas she is admired and beloved by friends, family, colleagues, neighbors, and countless citizens of all generations in Orange County, in the Orange County community. And whereas she worked hard to ensure that social services could serve the entire county. And whereas she was a founding member of the board of OWASA. And whereas she was elected to the Board of County Commissioners in November 1982 and November 1986, and was elected by her fellow commissioners as chair of that board in December of 1986 and December of 1981, and served in that position until October 1988. And whereas for many decades, Shirley E. Marshall has faithfully served on numerous county and state committees and councils, including the Orange County Board of Commissioners, the Chapel Hill Town Council, the Council on Aging, the Board of Social Services, the Triangle J Council of Governments, the Board of Health, the Public Transportation Authority, the Transportation Board, the Human Services Advisory Commission, and the EMS Advisory Council. And whereas she served on the Transportation Advisory Board, and her wisdom and experience as both County Commissioner and Town Council member were great assets, as well as her ability to speak frankly and not politically about things on the agenda. And whereas she has always been an insightful, energetic, impartial, sincere, committed, inspiring, dedicated, empathetic, vibrant, open-minded, visionary advocate and leader. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Mark Chilton, the mayor of the town of Carrboro, North Carolina, do hereby proclaim April 27, 2009 as Shirley E. Marshall Day in the town of Carrboro, and thank Shirley E. Marshall for her faithful service and dedication to the welfare and safety of our community.
Makes you tired just to... But it didn't all happen in just a little while. I mean, took a whole lot of years. And this is a great community to be active in. And I know that everybody that's on the board and that serves on the Board of Commissioners, I mean the boards and commissions, feels just as involved and understands how everything that everybody does together is what makes Carrboro such a very, very special place. Thank you.
Thank you. We have quite a few people who are signed up to speak on matters that are on our printed agenda, and when I get to the agenda item that relates to the items you signed up on, then I will call on you to speak on those matters. We have one person who signed up to speak on a matter that is not on our printed agenda, so at this time I'm going to call on Carrie Brewer, if you would come on up to the podium. Yeah.
Hi, so my name is Carrie Brewer. I'm the executive director of a 501c3 nonprofit based in Carrboro, North Carolina. And we have been doing several projects in the local area. One of our major ones is a women's running program called Team Sakina that's involved over 100 different women and currently enrolls about 80. And we are pleased to present the publication of the first comprehensive trail guide to the natural surface trails in the Chapel Hill Carrboro area. So I just wanted to speak on the release and show you a little bit of the product. There are 12 different trails that have been mapped. They were each meticulously GPSed and then GIS'd using software and overlaid on Google Earth. Each of them is contained with information in a trifold brochure that opens up and has a Google Earth map and includes information such as fast facts, distance of the trail, difficulty, type of the surface, as well as how to access the trail, who can access it, what time, how to navigate the trail once you're out there, as well as an environmental piece. We did an ecological assessment of each of the trails to try to put runners, walkers, bikers in the context of the nature that they're surrounded by. We included history about past use of the area as well as its present use to try to promote environmental awareness and conservation, with the overall objective of just trying to give a resource to the community to promote mental and physical well-being, with the idea that if people are exercising and out on the trails, they're more likely to be sustainable lifetime exercisers, as well as mental well-being, just reconnecting with nature, and also hopefully promoting environmental awareness, as I spoke of earlier. So the trails are all linked by a comprehensive map, which is trifold, that opens up into a town map with major roads as well as greenways and bikeways, and has all of the trails overlaid on it with the hope of having people understand better how they can get from point A to point B without their car for commuting purposes as well as for long distance exercising. And just am pleased to present this to the town. We are happy to work with the town in any way with the objective of just providing this good to the benefit of the town members. And would just like to announce that we are having a community trail fest to launch officially this guide at Weaver Street this Sunday during the jazz brunch from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. There will be local businesses with tables, as well as nonprofit organizations, environmental and wellness-oriented, and we would invite everyone to attend. If someone would like to have a table or bring flyers, everyone is welcome, and hope that this event, and as well as the guide, can be a symbol for the community, as well as all organizations in the community uniting around these principal objectives of wellness and environmental awareness and protection. So thank you for your time, and I can be reached at sustainfoundation@gmail.com, and you can please visit our website, sustainfoundation.org, if you would be interested in any more information. The guides will be for sale at area businesses and organizations, and again, we are happy to collaborate with the town in any way that they're interested. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I have complimentary guides, and as well as information about the weekend and our organization that I'm just going to pass around. Please give one.
All right. Thanks very much. Okay. We have, Mari Weiss here? No? Okay. Mr. Manager, the consent agenda.
Okay. Item 1 is approval of minutes of previous meetings. Item 2 is a resolution adopting changes in the Board of Aldermen's meeting schedule, and I would call your attention to the revised resolution that was emailed earlier in the week by the clerk and also at your places. Item 3 is a resolution adopting the Universal Declaration of Human Rights as guiding principles. Item 4 is award of contract for audit firm. And item 5 is a request to cancel the April 28th public hearing.
Mark, I think there's been a sudden
arrival.
A sudden arrival.
Oh. So,
this is Mary Weiss.
Oh, Mary. Okay, hold on 1 second, Mary.
Sure.
Mark, I think Mark Durison wants to speak to item C3. Is that right, Mark? Are you here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you call me?
We didn't yet. We're just ascertaining that you're here and you want to speak on the
public comments on any consent agenda items?
Well, it sounds like we're about to.
We are for you.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
So I'll move the items except C3.
All right. Then a motion for C1, 2, 4, and 5. All those in favor signify by saying.
Wait, Mark, can I say something?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Just for the benefit of the public, C3, that resolution, we also have a revised resolution at our places that the board worked on a lot, and I'm not sure that, I don't think the public really has seen that resolution.
Right. Okay, well, we're coming to C3 in just a moment,
okay.
So C1, 2, 4, and 5 has been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. Item C3,
I'd like to thank Randy and Lydia for their work on that, too.
Could one or the other of you kind of summarize for the public what the changes or the additions, rather, to the document were?
When the document was first presented to us, there was a lot that resonated very quickly with us here in Carrboro. However, there were a few really updates that we wanted to see based on the value system that we've seen in Carrboro. And so Lydia, Mark, and myself, we went through and we updated some language. We tailored some of the language so that it would be reflective of not only our times, but the great transition that's taken place since 1948. So I don't know whether it makes sense to put a copy up so that folks can see it, or I don't know how you want to share it out, but there were, and I don't have, let me get my copy.
Randy, you want me to just read it?
Yeah, would you read the, you want to read the changes?
Sure.
Or?
Sure, I will. On the fourth paragraph, we added, whereas having been promulgated in 1948, Carrboro acknowledges that certain principles set forth in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights should be updated as follows. A, the preamble in paragraph 2 should make reference to humankind rather than mankind. B, article 2 should also contain the statuses of ethnicity, sexual orientation, and gender identity or gender expression. C, Article 10 should acknowledge the rights of all persons to enter into civil marriage with their partner of choice, regardless of gender. 4, Article 16.1 should make reference to people rather than men and women. It should add ethnicity to the limitation clause. E, Article 16.3 makes reference to family. It should be noted that the definition of family has evolved greatly since 1948. Historically, it was known as the basic unit in society, traditionally consisting of two parents rearing their children, while today it further includes any of various social units differing from but regarded as equivalent to the traditional family. F, Article 25.2 should be revised to include fatherhood and should delete the reference to born in or out of wedlock. And G, throughout the document, any reference to his, him, or himself should be stated them or themselves in order to be gender inclusive. So we're suggesting adoption of the resolution with those clarifications.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Former Alderman Dorison, if you would come up to the mic.
Thank you. Good evening. I just want to, first of all, thank the board for considering this, adopting this resolution. It's very encouraging that you're doing so. I do want to point out, however, that it is somewhat ironic that the board is considering endorsing this while it's continuing to support and endorse its so-called anti-lingering ordinance, which violates the spirit, if not the letter, of at least three of the articles in this declaration. Article 7, which says that all are equal before the law and entitled without any discrimination to equal protection of the law. Article 9, which says no one shall be subjected to arbitrary arrest, detention, or exile. And Article 20, which says everyone has the right to freedom of peaceably assemble and association. I realize that there's an ongoing discussion taking place on the board about the possible construction of a day laborer site, and I am encouraged by that discussion as well, but I really don't think that discussion should take place underneath the stigma and shadow of this unconstitutional ordinance. I would just like to also point out two factors for you to consider. I know that there was supposed to be a public hearing on this ordinance, and the board decided it didn't need to have a public hearing to find out what people feel about this, and I regret that. I would point out, however, only three current members of the board of aldermen voted for this ordinance. Alderman Brown was not present the night the ordinance was adopted. Alderman Coleman wasn't present the night the ordinance was adopted. And Alderman Lavelle had been elected but had not yet been seated. And so those three members have never had an opportunity to vote either for or against this ordinance. I'd also like to point out or to caution the board against reading too much into the fact that there has been limited outcry about this ordinance from the Latino community. The Latino community has been scapegoated in this state in particular, but throughout the country. And so we have a community that is reluctant to come forward, documented or undocumented. And that is exactly the nefarious problem with an ordinance that violates the First Amendment, is that it chills people's willingness to speak out, even when they have that right to do so. So I'm glad you're going to adopt this resolution, if you are, but I hope that you would consider rescinding the anti-lingering ordinance, which I do, again, think violates basic principles in this document. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Let me make one correction to a point Mark made, which is that I don't believe we decided to cancel that public hearing because we don't want people's ideas and thoughts on the ordinance, but my understanding was we want to talk about the day labor site first and see if we can come up with any better solution for that facility and see then what the impact of that is on that neighborhood. But anyway, okay. That said, I'll move the item.
Second.
All right. That's as revised.
Revised.
All those, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passed unanimously. Thanks very much. All right. Mari Weiss is here. Mari, would you come up to the clerk's desk right here? She is going to just stand there and face toward Sarah.
As a Human Services Advisory Commission member, you will study all funding applications received by the town from non-departmental agencies and make recommendations to the Board of Aldermen on these funding requests, and two, perform such other duties as may be assigned from time to time by the Board of Aldermen. And if I could get you to sign that, agreeing to that. Oh, my gosh. You made it. Thank you. And if you would like to meet the board.
Thank you for your service.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Item D1, final report from Carver Parks Project on the Anderson Disc, Park Disc Golf Course. Mr. Manager.
Well, we do have Katie Allman and other members of the Parks Project that will present their final report on the disc golf course, so I'll turn it over to them.
Yes. All right. So it's only been just over a year since I was up here getting approval from you guys. So I just wanted to announce that we have raised all the money for the Anderson Park Disc Golf Course. And I really want to thank the board for approving the project. You know, it's been really fun for us to raise money for it, and I think it's going to really benefit the community. And I want to thank DSI and the Sunrise Rotary Club because they made very generous contributions to this course, and without them, we couldn't have done it. Or it would have taken a lot longer. And we also had a lot of great individual donations and also donations from local businesses that really helped out the project. So we are having a work day on, they've cleared some of the property, and I use the word clear very lightly, but we are having a work day on April 25th, which is this Saturday, to install the sleeves and get, you know, the baskets up. So anybody who wants to come and get their hands dirty is welcome. And we would like to, we're planning on opening the course on May 2nd, weather permitting. And we would like to, we're planning on having a tournament that day, an opening ceremony and tournament. So, you know, weather permitting, that will happen. And I just want to present you with a check for the full amount of $10,000. And this is Susan and Julia, too. They've been helping.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks for all of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Very good. Okay, well, we got the hard stuff out of the way, and now we are on to agenda item E1, a public hearing on preliminary design for Smith Level Road, TIP project U2803. Mr. Manager.
There was a resolution there.
Oh, I pardon.
Three. Yeah.
Move about. Second.
Of all three of those resolutions?
Second.
Okay. The three resolutions have been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. We are grateful for both this and the other projects that the Carver Parks Project has done in the past, which I think include the creation of the dog park, the sunscreen over the playground here at Town Hall, and also, I believe, the tennis backboards at Wilson Park.
Yep.
All of those projects were done without without taxpayer dollars being invested through the hard work of the people in the Carver Parks Project and through the generosity of many people in our community. So I want to thank everybody who's been involved in that. Okay. Mr. Manager, Eva. Okay.
This is a public hearing on the preliminary design for Smith Level Road, TIP Project U-2803. As indicated, the DOT has prepared a preliminary design on Smith Level Road. This public hearing has been set so that the board can receive additional comments on the preliminary design and provide whatever comments you wish to NCDOT. Adina Messinger, our transportation planner, has a presentation for the board to give you all an overview of the latest design. Adina.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm going to take a little bit of, really a little bit of time this evening to walk you through the design that folks are here to comment on so everybody understands what it is we're actually talking about. And you have in your packets a very detailed history of the project, but I just wanted to point out a few of the more recent events that have occurred and which have brought us to where we are today with this project. I started with 2006 when the town made a request to NCDOT to move forward with the project in anticipation of the opening of Carborough High School. And so in the spring of 2007, DOT shared a revised design, and that design is what you're going to see in a few minutes, where it goes from a four-lane divided section to a four-lane section to a three-lane section, which approaches the roundabout at Rockhaven Road. In June of 2007, the board reviewed that design and provided feedback to NCDOT. And then in November of 2007, DOT held a public workshop at Carborough High School where they presented the design and the public was able to speak with DOT representatives and offer some other feedback. In 2008, really towards the end of 2008, NCDOT completed their environmental assessment of the project, and it's the completion of that document which kicked in the next stage, which was for DOT to hold a public hearing on the project, which they did last month, the beginning of March. There was a public hearing at Carborough Elementary, and DOT presented the plan. They also had a small packet of information which was provided in your packets, which they went through. And I just received this evening a transcript of that public hearing, which I'll make available to you all as soon as possible. And we'll also get that posted so other folks can take a look as well. And so the project that we're talking about, I'm going to try to use the mouse, extends at the southern point from just below Woodcrest, which is over here, I believe, and it goes up to right before the bridge, which crosses over Morgan Creek. And you can see there's three different colors here along Smith Level Road, and that's to indicate the different cross-sections that are being proposed. This is the four-lane divided section here. This is a four-lane section over here, and this is a three-lane section over here. So not very elegant with the mouse. Just to give you a little bit more of orientation, NC54 is up here. This is the Berry Hill neighborhood. The Villages apartments are over here. This is Rockhaven Road, and this is Carborough High School. This is the Kent Woodlands neighborhood over here, and this is Culbreth Road. So I'm going to walk through this starting from the southern end, and I put at your places the legend that goes along with this design so you can have a sense of what all these colors mean for the folks who are here in the audience and the folks at home. I'll just explain that the solid green is the existing right-of-way of NCDOT. The solid light green is the proposed right-of-way for this project, so they would be adding this piece to what the existing right-of-way is shown as. There is also a green, light green hatched area, and that is for anticipated easements that would be required for either construction or utilities or drainage. And those would either be temporary or permanent. I don't think that's been determined yet what kind of easements those would be. There's also the orange here. That's the existing roadway. There's yellow, which is the proposed roadway, so that would be added. And there's yellow over there. The red indicates structures such as curb and gutter. We've got splitter islands here. We've got a roundabout here. You'll see later that the median is also outlined in red in another section. And then we have this gray hatched area here is existing roadway that would go away. If there's a color that I did not cover, just let me know and I'll get to that. So for this section here, I'm showing the southern limit of the project. This is Woodcrest over here, and we're looking at it from here until the roundabout, which is at Rockhaven Road. And what we see is a two-lane section, one lane in each direction up till Woodcrest. And then we have, again, the two lanes in each direction, as well as a turning lane into Woodcrest over here. These two lanes continue through the one-lane roundabout, and then they would follow through on the other end of Smith Level Road. And again, the roundabout is at the intersection of Smith Level and Rock Haven. And as this bullet point mentions down here, there are sidewalks and bike lanes in this design for the entire length of the project, beginning at Woodcrest and extending down to the northern terminus.
May I ask a clarifying question,
sure,
please? The dark green is currently now woods or growth, right?
It's
on the other side.
Over here?
Yeah.
It looks like they're showing vegetation.
Yeah, so that would be taken out. Is that correct?
I don't think so. The existing the roadway would be from this edge to this edge. What the dark green is just showing is what is the existing right of way. So what DOT owns.
But then the light green you said was proposed right of way.
Correct. So they would be looking at extending the right-of-way.
Right. And so if they had the right-of-way, would that buffer be taken out?
I don't think so, but I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. I'm just concerned. Well, we'll get to that later. Thank you.
Sure. The next section that we're going to take a look at is from Rock Haven Road to Culbreth. So here's where the roundabout was shown on the other image, and here's Culbreth Road down here with the signal. And this is a three-lane section. What we see is we've got, again, coming off of the roundabout, a lane in each direction, and at some point it starts to widen out to three lanes, where we've got a left turn lane into the Villages apartment complex over here. If you're looking in the other direction, going north to south, again, there's a lane in each direction as well as a right turn lane into the Villages. So that makes up the three-lane section.
Can I ask a question? In a minute.
So the next section is going from Culbreth to BPW, and this, as it says here, is a four-lane section. We've got now two lanes of traffic, through lanes going along here. We've got one lane going in the southern direction, and we also have a third, sort of a middle turn lane. You can see there's a turn lane going onto Culbreth and a turn lane going onto BPW over there. So we went from a three-lane section, and now we're widening out to a four-lane section over here.
So, Adina, when you're talking about a four-lane section, you're talking about two travel lanes and turning lanes, or are you talking about a real four-lane section?
My understanding is that this middle lane here, where you can sort of see the arrow turning in there, it's sort of a center turn lane where the stacking that you need, they kind of meet at the end so that it becomes a center turn lane. So it's not, you wouldn't expect any through traffic in this lane here, this lane. You would just expect the cars who are entering into that lane either to go over to turn left here or to move over and turn left there.
Okay.
And so the final section is the four lane with the median section. That is going from BPW down to the end of the project, which is, again, is just before the bridge over Morgan Creek. And we have those same two through lanes continuing on along this way down to the end of the project. Going in the southern direction, we have two lanes continuing this way. And then at some point over here where we see the median, this is the median over here, as that tapers, we get a left turn lane that would go into this apartment complex over here, and we have a right turn lane that would go onto BPW. If you recall, there's only one through lane up here, so there's one, I think it goes down to one through lane at that intersection. And so this is where Berry Hill is. This is the Willow Oak access to that neighborhood. Frank Bordogram is up somewhere over here. And I do have two other slides, but those are the end of my slides as far as the design is concerned, if you had any questions about that. And so the next immediate steps is that we'll get the comments that are presented tonight to DOT as soon as possible so that it can be considered at their post-hearing meeting next week, which is going to be taking place on Tuesday, a week from today.
Where?
It's out in Raleigh. I don't know the exact I don't know the exact location at this point.
Is that not too quick of a time to not really take into any of our comments into consideration?
That's an interesting question, but it's not a timeline that Ms. Messinger was involved in developing. So you're welcome to address the board, but I need for you to be called on in order.
Thank you. And finally, is presented at the public hearing back in the beginning of March, the continuing schedule for this project that's anticipated is to have the right-of-way acquisition begin in July, and that construction would then anticipate to begin in 2011. And that's all I have for my presentation. Okay.
We have a number of people signed up to speak on this particular item. And if you've not signed up, then if you will, what we'll do is I'm going to call on the people who have signed up. And then if you want to speak and you haven't signed up after I've gone through this list, then you can just raise your hand and I'll call on you. Before the public addresses this issue, do the Board of Aldermen have any more questions they want to ask now as opposed to after we've heard from the public?
I'd just like to ask a question regarding the meeting in Raleigh.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm going to call on people in order on this list right here. I don't know that we have a whole lot more information about that meeting in any case.
Well, is it open to the public?
I would assume it would be. Well, I've already told you that I don't have information about the meeting, so I don't really know.
And why is it being held in Raleigh when this is all about
cargo? Sir, it's not a meeting that we scheduled. It's not a meeting that we're responsible for. It's organized by the State Department of Transportation. Correct me if I'm wrong, staff.
That is correct. It is okay. Their meeting that they are, it's for their staff. So they can
It is a staff meeting to discuss. It's probably not open to the public if it's going to be a meeting of DOT staff only. Okay. The first speaker who signed up is Lisa Stuckey.
Good evening. My name is Lisa Stuckey. I'm chair of the Chapel Hill Carborough Board of Education, and I'm here at my board's request tonight simply to share concerns that we have about the proposed roundabout at the intersection of Smith Level and Rockhaven Road. And I just want to be clear that we didn't take a vote one way or another on that, but the board members have concerns that they wanted me to bring forward. That intersection, of course, is the entryway to Carborough High School. We note that Smith Level gets a lot of traffic in the morning and in the evening with people going to and from work. I actually drove it the other day, and when I drove north through the intersection about 8:30 a.m., there was a solid line of cars behind me. So there's a lot of traffic there. We anticipate when road improvements are finished in our walk zone, that the ultimate capacity of the walk zone for the school would be about 220 kids. Right now it's about 60 children. So that gives us the potential of a lot of walkers. I think the school board shares your value and the community's value of promoting walking and biking to school and physical activity and decreasing vehicular travel. So we would like to promote the walk zone as much as possible. So our concerns have to do with how the students would cross from one side of Smith Level to the other. The roundabout would leave them in a position, as I understand it, of looking to see if travel was clear on one lane, walking out to a little island refuge in the center of the road, and then looking to see if travel was clear on the other lane. And so one lane of travel would be going either toward or from the roundabout, depending on where the students were crossing, and the other lane would be going the other direction in or out of the roundabout. And we're just very concerned that students with backpacks, with bicycles, with band instruments are going to have trouble traversing the roundabout. And of particular concern is the fact that in a roundabout, vehicles have the right-of-way. I was actually sort of surprised to learn that when I went to the DOT public hearing at Carborough Elementary. But vehicles have the right-of-way. Pedestrians do not. And they told me that a pedestrian signal would be inappropriate. The whole purpose of a right-of-way is to keep is to keep traffic going all the time, to not stop traffic. The only option for stopping traffic would be a crossing guard, and I have to tell you, those cost $10,000 a year. We have some of our schools. We're cutting staff and everything else we can right now, so we would rather not be in a position to need to spend another $10,000. Carborough High currently has 800 students. Under the SAPFO projections in 2016, we would hope that there would be an addition completed and the school would grow to 1,200 students. We're not traffic experts. We hope that you will keep the safety of our student pedestrians firmly in mind as you consider how best to configure the road. And I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you. Lisa, yes. Thanks for coming. Have you all reflected on the implications of this plan for the walk zones for Frank Porter Graham or Culbra School?
When I was on the Smith Level Road Task Force, I actually brought that with me. And I think we address it in that report, which I believe was part of was what was online. So if you want to go back and look at it, hang on here. I think there are no implications for Culbreth. Their walk zone is as big as it could be, and we would never have elementary school students crossing a four-lane road. We would just never do that. So maybe that answers your questions. Okay. Anything else? All right, get
thanks
out of here.
Thanks very much, Lisa.
Thank you for letting us.
Bill and Susan Stone are sort of signed up here together. Is Bill Stone here, Susan Stone? Okay, we can come back to it if they're not. Terry Buckner.
Hi, thank you so much for having this public hearing. I know it wasn't originally planned, and I appreciate your willingness to listen to us one more time. One of the things that designs like what DOT has presented don't show you is the impact on the people. They show you roadways, they show you physical structure, but they don't show you the human structure. And so one of my concerns about this project is that they have used data that is inaccurate, in my opinion. It's old. It was based on traffic counts that were held before 15501 was widened, when there was a lot of extra traffic on Smith Level Road. And then compounding that, they have made projections on that traffic count based on their general rubrics. Those rubrics do not take into account the high ridership on the J and the D bus routes. They don't take into account the fact that we as a community want our children to walk to school. So as an example, in the public hearing with DOT, they said they used the fact that Carborough High would be expanding to 1,200 students was justification for additional lanes because of the additional parents, rather than saying, if we make this a highly walkable area, we will reduce the amount of traffic. So what I would encourage you to do, what I hope you will do, and I know that this design is much better than what we've had in the past, and I thank the mayor and the manager for their part in improving what we've got before us. But what I would like is to see the sidewalks and see the bikeways and not see the extended lines of traffic. I disagree with Adina's description of what happens at in the number of lanes in front of the high school. My understanding from the DOT drawings and the public hearing with them is that it's three lanes all the way before the roundabout and up to the high, stoplight. So it's three lanes all the way. And that's a lot. That's a lot, whether there's a roundabout there or not. That's I am not opposed to the roundabout. I just want to make sure that when we make the decisions to do this, that the primary consideration is walkability for the kids going to school. There are three areas, there are three destinations in this study area, and they're all three schools. The kids from Frank Porter Graham will be able to walk more when the greenway is in place, but getting the kids from Southern Village over to the high school, it has to be safe, and safety has to be the first consideration. So I hope that you will take that into consideration, and again, thank you for making the design as it is even better than it was. Thank you.
Thanks, Terry. Right.
Wayne Pine.
Mr. Mayor, Alderman, I was a bicycling researcher at UNC for 7 years. Bike lanes are inappropriate on Smith Level Road. The North Carolina Bicycle Facilities Planning and Design Guidelines say, quote, bike lanes are not advisable on long downgrades of 4% or more. But that 4% is too liberal and is unjustified. It should be 2%. The grade on Smith Level Road is nearly 8%. On that grade, bicycle speed is 35 miles per hour. So riding in a debris-covered strip of pavement the width of a sidewalk is dangerous. My wife and I hit 35 miles per hour every day and used the full lane like motorcyclists. The NCDOT driver's manual says, quote, bicyclists usually ride on the right side of the lane but are entitled to use of the full lane. If it needs to be spelled out, there's a new bicycles may use full lane sign in the manual on uniform traffic control devices. In a written summary of the design workshop for Smith Level Road held November 5th, 2007, seven major concerns were recapped. Number four was the fact that Smith Level is too steep for bike lanes. But here is the action that was taken on this issue. Quote, the exclusive bike lanes were added to the project at the request of the town of Carrboro, and the design is similar to existing bicycle network throughout the town. That doesn't address the issue. The action was apparent willful disregard of design standards at the expense of bicycle drivers. This is a shameful adherence to ideology over engineering guidelines. The same thinking has led to substandard bike lanes on traffic-calmed residential streets with steep hills found in Carrboro neighborhoods. At the proposed roundabout at Rock Haven, the bicycle lanes will be terminated in advance of the roundabout to encourage bicyclists to mix with vehicular traffic. Bike lanes are inappropriate at the roundabout and at the other end of the steep hill. They should not be placed along the midsection of this project either. The multiple lanes enable motorists to change lanes and easily pass bicyclists, just as they would stopped buses or any other slower vehicle. Further, the changing configuration of the lanes and turn lanes will make a complete hash of trying to put bike lanes in there. Bike lanes do not make it safer for bicyclists. They make some people feel safer, but duping them into a false sense of security on an 8% grade is disgraceful. Motorcyclists are taught to avoid the right third of the lane, yet bicyclists are sometimes just as fast and are lured and confined to that spot with bike lane stripes. Say the word bicycle driver and you start to grasp what using a bike on the hills around here is really like. Remove the useless bike lanes in neighborhoods and don't add new and superfluous and dangerous ones on Smith Level Road. One last point, please. There was much discussion of minimizing the overall impact of Smith Level Road. Not only do bike lanes add a considerable amount of pavement and right-of-way cost, they also elevate the road to a higher status. We know that shoulders are used on major roads intended to facilitate more and faster traffic, like on I-40 and 54. Shoulders are not used on minor roads. while bike lanes are just shoulders with names. So providing bike lane shoulders on Smith Level Road turns it into a higher order road. Thank you.
The next speaker is Mutch Callie Caglin.
Hello, Mayor, the board. This morning I drove on Smith Lowell Road at many hours trying to evaluate traffic pattern and use. I wish the DOT engineers would do such behavioral studies instead of designing in a room in Raleigh and coming out with wrong conclusions and a plan that is recycled over and over again, this time with a roundabout, without any of our previous concerns as were expressed over 10 years that I've dealt with this project. I live in the Berry Hill neighborhood. Points I'd like to make is, one, the area is in the Jordan Water Lake watershed area and is built out. This morning I only saw three estate lots for sale at $600,000. I doubt that there's any new increase built out in new students or folks coming in. There are three schools within our destination which should be in walkable zones but cannot sometimes because, A, there are not sidewalks to walk to them, or the traffic flows at 50 miles per hour coming down the hill, and that does not make it safe. The J bus line is used often by our students and is free, and I doubt that any of the projections for use of such road was done with the knowledge of the bus use. For the high school is built on a walkable community principle, and there is limited parking, which is actually a good thing. Five, as I said before, the concerns of our neighborhood about the median and the Willow Oak Lane entry and exit being blocked were repeatedly told, but now I see that it's the same plan again with the blocking, which will create an increased inner neighborhood traffic coming out onto BPW Club Road. I do not want my tax money to be wasted on this because the cost of this has gone from $1.5 million when I started to now, I believe, $7 million. And truly the need of the town and the community would be not a 50-mile zone, but a 15 to 25-mile zone with sidewalk on both sides, walkable, and for our safety. There have been two pedestrian deaths on NC 54 in the past 6 months. That is a four-lane highway with a median. The deaths happened at both bus stops. As people were trying to cross over. So we need to be in consideration for our community principles and our safety. I certainly do not want such tragedies to happen over Smith Level Road. Thank you for your time.
Jason Henning.
Thank you for this opportunity. I'll start off by apologizing that I'll probably be a little bit longer on this than you'd like me to. But since this is a project that has been 25 years in the making, and it has a very significant and irreversible impact to myself and many of the people here, I hope that you'll be patient. I would like to start off with a few comments that has been sent to the DOT and I'd like to highlight here. And then finally, I'll finish with a letter which I have sent to the mayor and the Board of Aldermen. One of the things that have been brought up is that this model does not include the impact on Orchard Lane and Berry Hill subdivision. While they're forcing the traffic through the neighborhood by eliminating the left turn off of Willow Oak, their models are terminated prior to the neighborhood itself. This is an area where there's a lot of families and a lot of kids, and it will change the traffic flow. And I think it was irresponsible for the DOT not to include the traffic flow and the impact. The simple thing is, I don't think anybody here has been able to understand the need for this project. It is certainly disproportionate to what our needs are. What they're proposing is, in some areas, a road which is wider than Franklin Street and even wider than Highway 54 in certain areas. Smith Level Road is designated as a minor road by both DOT and Carborough. So I can't understand the need for a divided four-lane minor road. One of the things which has been significant is that there's actually been a decrease in traffic on Smith Lovell Road. If you look at the mobility report of Town of Carrboro between 2003 and 2005, Smith Lovell Road has seen a 10% decrease in traffic. None of these things are shown in the projections by the DOT. I would have to attribute a lot of that to the free bus ridership that we currently have. Just a small trivial fact. By eliminating the left turn off of the Willow Oak Road, it will force people who normally take a left turn just to cross the street to travel 55,000 additional miles each year. It's not a very long trip to go up to take a U-turn, but according to the traffic estimates that the DOT uses, it's done many times. This results in about 3,000 gallons of gas every year. Okay, finally, I'd like to just read this letter in closing. I'm writing in regards to the road expansion project on Smith Lovell Road in Carrboro. The North Carolina Department of Transportation is once again proposing a disproportionate widening of this road. For the past 19 years, this project has been submitted by the DOT and rejected by the town and the citizens of Carrboro multiple times. As a citizen who resides along Smith Lovell Road, I have a great interest in the outcome, and I appeal it to you to consider some of those residences, like myself, and the vision of Carrboro as a community. I'd like to refer to the Carrboro's Vision 2020 plan as you evaluate the DOT's proposal. Quoting from Section 2.4, Carrboro's character, the town should adhere to policies that limit the widening of roads, encourage planting alongside the roads. The proposed widening would not only remove all of the trees lining Smith Lovell Road, it would also require the removal of a significant number of trees in the homeowners' backyards. Speaking for myself, I will see over 90% of my trees removed, which is about 80 trees. This is so they have working space. From Section 4.4, established roads. As a general policy, established roads should be widened to accommodate bike lanes and sidewalks, but not to provide additional lanes for automobiles. If allowed, Smith Lovell Road, which Carrboro has classified as a minor road, would exceed the size of Franklin Street and even Highway 54. In fact, the DOT refers to this widened road as a divided highway, and clearly this is in opposition to the policies of Carrboro. But to highlight some of the great successes that Carrboro's vision has worked on, from Section 4.0, transportation, the public transit system serves to encourage non-auto travel and reduce congestion on existing roads. Smith Lovell Road has demonstrated that success in implementing that ideal. Since the introduction of the fare-free buses in 2002, ridership has nearly doubled, and the traffic flow on Smith Lovell Road has actually decreased. According to the 2005 Mobility Report Card for Carrboro, the traffic on Smith Lovell Road has decreased by over 10% in the 2 years following the 2003 report. That factual data is in opposition to the DOT's traffic projections. Those DOT projections are the primary justification for this road widening. The DOT projections have proven to be wrong over and over again by not including factors such as the completion of 15501, increased bus ridership, and the simple fact that the buildings in this area have been completed. Carrboro has demonstrated that providing alternative transportation, they can not only limit the rate of traffic increase, but actually decrease it. Also, as a resident in the area, I can tell you that the debilitating congestion that the DOT has predicted for the past 10 years simply has not come to pass. In addition, it should be noted that the proposal for this expansion will result in the reduction of the elimination of bus stops along Smith Lovell Road. It is the spirit of Carrboro to encourage a mixture of automobile, bus, bicycle, and pedestrian traffic. Smith Lovell Road already utilizes bus transportation sufficiently. In fact, it is most heavily has the highest bus ridership of any road in Chapel Hill or Carrboro. It would make sense that we would want to encourage these alternate mode of transportations without encouraging an increase in automobile traffic. It is clear that the increased bus ridership has helped decrease automotive traffic, and it's a trend that we should continue to foster and not derail by creating a multi-lane highway that runs through our neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Linda Henning.
Good evening. I'd like you to think about what is Carrboro? When you say Carrboro, people think Weaver Street Market, they think Mapleview Farms, Tyler's, Acme, Music Loft, the Farmers Market, bike paths, a place where kids can still walk to school, and a distinct quality of life. It's small town USA, and we're green. This is not a community that needs four lanes and a median. It's not a place where we take cutting down a half a mile of trees lightly. It's not a place where you can, not a place where just because the state is willing to pay for something makes it the right choice for our community. We've asked for a plan for sidewalks and bike paths, and instead we got an interstate and Humvee travel. This proposal contradicts what the people want in this town. People don't move to Carrboro because it's a haven for low taxes. Actually, we rank fairly high in taxes. We live here because of the distinct quality of life. This improvement isn't an improvement at all. This places our children's safety at risk. Children who want to walk to school and walk home from school will be in front of crossing this divided highway and four lanes. The people you're trying to make this road comfortable for don't even live in Carrboro. They're passing through it. Those of us who live here should have our needs and desires carry more weight than those who have merely passed through town to spend their money in some other destination. And I think if you look at your own reports, these talk about the low accident rate on Smith Level Road, that it's low compared to what you would think it would be. And I have emailed Mr. Lewis with the state and Secretary Conte, and I'd like to reiterate that we don't get replies back, and when, as a previous speaker noted, that you summarize what the concerns are, and if you look on Exhibit D8, request to allow left turns on Willow Oak, action to allow for safe and efficient flow of traffic, no left turns will be allowed. That doesn't say anything.
Right.
So I really think we need to consider what we all elected you for is to serve the best interests of Carrboro and what we are and what the plans are when we moved here. Thank you.
Linda Levitch and then Julie Kemper after that.
Thank you for letting me speak here. It's with somewhat of a sense of frustration that I speak for, I believe, the third time at a preliminary hearing on this project over the last decade or so. I won't reiterate what previous speakers have said, except to emphasize the fact that this 17-foot-wide median that the DOT proposes between the Morgan Creek Bridge and BPW Club Road, which cuts off the Willow Oak access, left turns into or out of the Berry Hill neighborhood, will again increase traffic through Berry Hill. What the DOT has told me on previous occasions is that instead of being able to take a left turn turning towards 54 out of Willow Oak, people will be assumed to take a right turn, go up to the light at BPW, and make a U-turn at BPW to then head north on Smith Level Road. That intersection has a lot of pedestrian traffic going to and from bus stops on BPW as well as Smith Level. It does not make any sense to me to have cars make a U-turn there. Back in April of 2005, the Board of Aldermen adopted a resolution that they preferred the three-lane cross-section, which is two traffic lanes and a turn lane in the middle with bikes, paths, and sidewalks. The four-lane divided highway does not seem to fit that model. So just to finish, in terms of safety, traffic control, aesthetics, and financial considerations, this project as designed is both unnecessary and unwanted by many people here in Carrboro. Thank you.
thank you for letting me talk. I attended the DOT pre-hearing open house on March 9th. I happen to be standing right next to Lisa Stuckey, the school board chair, and I could not believe my ears when they told us that our kids would be crossing at a roundabout where pedestrians would never have the right of way. I am really, really concerned. We have seen too many pedestrian deaths in the last year. Let's not let it be with our kids. Here's a chance, our opportunity to prevent it. The DOT officials told us we're doing this because this is what the town of Carrboro wants. We wouldn't have thought of this on our own. It's not something we tend to do, but this is what the town of Carrboro wants. If there is anything we can do to change this, I really, really think we need to. We're going to have these kids crossing multiple lanes of a really busy road all at once. If there are too many kids to fit in the middle where they're supposed to stand until they wait till they cross to the other side, they're going to go out into the street. We have to realize there are going to be a disproportionate number of new drivers. It's a high school. There are going to be a lot of teenage drivers there. So we have people in roundabouts. I am not against roundabouts, but roundabouts require both drivers and pedestrians to learn how to use them. And we're talking about kids driving and kids walking across the street. And I am really concerned about that. And I'm also concerned because kids will be staying late for school, after school activities, and the whole idea is to get our kids walking. But you know, if they stay for a sport after school and come home after dark, it's going to be even worse. I guess I just want to end. Last month there was a letter to the editor in the News and Observer. It was from Peter Batchelor, who's a professor emeritus of architecture and urban design at NC State, and he was writing in reference to the roundabout at NC State, and he acknowledged that roundabouts are effective for dealing with traffic gridlock, but he said, you know, drivers entering a roundabout are concerned only with other cars on their left and can easily overlook pedestrians attempting to cross near the circle. And this is somebody who knows a lot more about this stuff than I do. And he went on to explain their situation is dangerous and potentially lethal. Let's think about this so that we're not going to a funeral. Thank you.
That's the last speaker who's signed up on the list here. Are there people who would like to speak, hopefully to make points that have not already been made? Okay. If you would come up, please. If you would state your name and address, so we'll have it in the record, that would be helpful, each of you. Thanks.
Carol Welcome. Barrow. I live at 617 Yorktown Drive in Heritage Hills, Chapel Hill, 27516. 5 years ago, Mayor Chilton and I hatched a plan together on the telephone. And what we thought would be a great idea would be to get a multi-purpose lane that would go somewhere towards the high school from Heritage Hills, north into town, stop at the high school, use a greenway that the high school had already established, and get people into town through the greenway and up Jones Ferry Road. Well, what I wrote here was, Chilton said that a multi-purpose lane that connects Carrboro High with a greenway would direct cyclists through the high school, where the greenway would connect with Jones Ferry Road and take this into town without a hill. As Wayne Pond said, that's a really dangerous hill. Nobody should have to take their life into their hands. We need sidewalks. We don't need a wider lane. We don't need to invite more cars. We built 15501 for that purpose. Not to use us as a shortcut and kill our kids, but for us to use and get into town. When I went to the meeting, the DOT meeting at Carrboro High School, the lady there told me from the DOT that their motto is, build the road and they will come. I don't want that. And yes, as a matter of fact, I do own the road.
Right there. All the way in the back, right there. We'll come across the room. If you'll come up, please.
I'm Alan Wabel. I live in Berry Hill, too, 302 Orchard Lane, Carrboro. I just wanted to make a few points. I hope you all have had a chance to drive on Smith Level Road, because you can't understand it from looking at a picture. And as you're going up the hill, and that is a hill, and look at the trees and the trees that are going to disappear, as well as if you turn around and come the other way, when you come down the other way, if you can envision people that haven't traveled on that road, they get down to that hill, and you tend, when you're on a hill, you tend to speed up. Cars speed up. I mean, that's science. And to go to a four-lane road, most people, when they hit a four-lane road, think, oh, I'm on a highway now. I can speed up. People come flying down that hill as it is because it's a hill. And also, when you're on top of the hill there, if you're at the BPW, if you look down the hill, you can't see the bottom. You cannot see the light down there. You cannot see the school down there. And you know, we mentioned young drivers getting out there, but also other people. You see that, you start speeding up. If you speed up too fast, you're going to have trouble slowing down when you get down to the bottom and come around the curve, and all of a sudden there's the light and there's the school. So I want you to consider that. In the Berry Hill neighborhood, I mean, I've heard Carrboro is big on let's let traffic flow through neighborhoods. Let's cut off cul-de-sacs because we don't want neighborhoods to come out with one roadway. We want traffic to spread out so it doesn't have to all come together. And this is contrary within the Berry Hill neighborhood, which has about 110 homes, all coming having to come up one road. And the roads in Berry Hill, I encourage you to drive in there also. They're curved roads with trees. And we have 5- and 6- and 7-year-olds that play out in the street. And if we have to direct all the traffic up that street, and those kids are playing out there, and the roads are curved, as well as when you get up to the top of the hill in the neighborhood, there's a left turn you take before you leave. There's a road the way that comes downhill that comes to that intersection. And kids come flying down there on their bikes, and yes, I know they shouldn't do that, but they do, and they don't look at the stop sign. And we parents are concerned, and we talk to them when we can, but they still do it. We're going to be directing 110 cars of traffic through that one roadway there, and I'm fearful of what's going to happen with these kids. And we've got some young kids that are just coming up that are just starting to learn about their yards and where the streets are. So I'm not sure what the benefit of having a half mile of two-lane divided highway is. I mean, I could understand it if we need a two-lane divided highway that runs 10 miles or whatever for all this traffic, but we don't have that situation. Why do we need a half a mile of this? It makes no sense. So the rest of the points that were mentioned here, I also agree with. Thank you.
Charlie Heilman, if you would come up. For the record, for posterity, hi.
Go ahead. Hit it. Okay. I'm Charlie Eilman, and
Heidi Carroll.
Austin Brown.
Okay. And we're on the Carrboro Transportation Advisory Board. We've been looking at this for a number of years now, ever since I joined.
Oh, way before that.
And I think probably long before that, yes. And thank you for letting us talk. Just say from the outset that we urge the Board of Aldermen to reject this proposal for widening Smith Level to four lanes and insist on a two-lane design. The DOT proposal will alter Smith Level Road
to be mostly four lanes along the length of the project. The proposal has only two possible options that they list, and that's the status quo or their four-lane project. We think that any gains in safety will actually be offset by the increase in traffic in the traffic lanes. We think that the communities will actually be split up by a large multi-lane road, and the vision in terms of there'll be no going back on a change that clearly violates Carborough's vision. As the Transportation Advisory Board and the Board of Aldermen has stated in the past, we strongly support two traffic lanes with bicycle lanes and sidewalks. We believe this is possible in the near future because it is a more affordable solution in line with the state's priorities. One of the main benefits that the DOT project puts out is a safety, increased safety for cars. The DOT proposal cites the increased safety for motor vehicles by using four lanes instead of two, but they point out that the current accident rate is about one-third the state's average for similar facilities, as other speakers have pointed out. An improved two-lane system might actually be safer because it would invite less traffic than a four-lane system. This is what we see on 15501 just yesterday. The other benefit that they point out is the safety for pedestrians and cyclists. And we agree that the safety could be improved with the addition of sidewalks and bike lanes along the road. But that is going along the road. The increase in the number of lanes and traffic would actually counter those gains in safety. So we're showing in the map here different places that people would be trying to cross. For example, at BPW, there are currently three lanes of traffic, but that would actually be increased to five lanes plus the bike lanes. So many of the cyclists would also feel uncomfortable riding beside two lanes of busy traffic, similar to the situation on MLK and Chapel Hill, where you can often see cyclists riding on the sidewalk. And this is a little cross-section that I'm sure you know at the bottom of the hill going on MLK, and you can kind of feel what it's like for people to cross a large cross-section versus a smaller section here. This is at BPW on Smith Lowell Road. And this is also...
Yeah, that's MLK.
That's MLK.
All right. Okay. And I'm going to address real quick... did you get it? I got it.
And we're going to increase capacity.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk real quick about increased capacity. And we do agree with the DOT's suggestion and projections that this is going to invite more traffic. I mean, it's intuitive. You build more lanes, and you're going to get more capacity. Look at the interstate system. When you build it, they do come, as the lady pointed out. The DOT anticipates that the number of cars are going to double from 7,000 per day to 13,000 per day by 2030. But in the report that they provided, they don't ever explain where the source of this traffic is going to come from. We can only assume that it's going to be from 15501 in Chatham County and transit to and from UNC, maybe via Merritt Mill Road. We also, one of the things that when we're asking you all to reject this proposal, if you keep it at two lanes, the two lanes will probably deter more people from loading onto that road. And also the trees and the other facilities around there will help provide sort of a tighter feeling space for drivers, and thus helping contribute to lower speed limits or lower vehicle speed. As the gentleman who went before pointed out, this project, as it currently is being brought to us by DOT, is in clear contradiction to Carborough's 2020 vision. I won't read this because the gentleman discussed it in his letter, but this also goes counter to the Carborough bicycle plan and the vision that was put forth that you all adopted last I guess, a month or a month and a half ago. So
how is it contrary to that plan?
Well, to build livable streets that promote multiple modes of transportation in a safe.
Because I think the plan actually calls for bike lanes on Smith Level Road.
But not on four, not four lane.
Well, it doesn't address that, actually.
No, okay. It doesn't. Okay. And also, this is in March of 2003, this is what the board proposed for the project design. So in the past, we have resisted the DOT's plan for four lanes on primary streets in Carrboro. For example, in the early 80s, before I lived here, DOT wanted four-lane roads such as Greensboro, Hillsboro, and Main Street. This is Greensboro. Thank goodness they didn't. That's Blue Ridge, and I live at 310 Blue Ridge, for the record. This is the intersection when I go to work every morning by bike or take in the carpool. The Carrboro insisted on you build two lanes, keep it at two lanes, you put the bike lanes and the sidewalks in, and you create a more livable street facilitates and accommodates all users, bike, walk, or the automobile. The existence of four lanes on Smith Level Road, again, as Charlie mentioned, will slice the community in two, changing the character of that road. And as we've heard from DOT representatives, there's been a change in the department over time. When this plan first came before the board, the DOT wanted no part of sidewalks and bike lanes. Now they want to put bike lanes on that, so there is signs of change. At a national level, the U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood has called for the creation of an Office of Sustainability within the U.S. DOT, which 10 years ago was unheard of. At a summit yesterday on smart growth, where several of the planning board members attended from Carrboro, this was hosted by David Price. Nina Schlossberg of the North Carolina Board of Transportation mentioned that there's an internal working group within DOT that focuses on complete streets. And DOT is putting together a policy advisory group to look at how DOT can change some of its policies when it comes to working with local municipalities. And then Gene Conti, who is the secretary of the North Carolina DOT, also spoke at this summit and indicated that under his guidance, the NCDOT will work to be a good partner in following the lead of local municipalities and on urban roadways be open to the idea of complete streets. Now, if that doesn't knock your socks off, I mean, these are like high-level people in DOT saying change is coming. So that's pretty astounding. We've waited quite a long time to get the road and the development on Smith Level that we want, and I would ask the board to hang in there a little bit longer and don't settle for a four-lane road.
The Transportation Advisory Board has recommended sidewalks, bike lanes, and a roundabout for Smith Level Road, but we believe that this road, as it currently stands, must be rejected. We've gone almost two decades to follow our vision for Smith Level Road. If we allow DOT to go forward with this, there will be no going back to fewer than four lanes in the future. This is Smith Level Road now, and if I can figure out how to get this moving, this is what we would like to see it look like in the future. So, thank you. I also have some comments as a citizen rather than as a member of the PAB. Would you like me to go sit down and raise my hand again?
No, I don't want you to do that. Before y'all depart from the podium, do any of the board members have any question for?
I actually have a question for the TAB folks. I was interested in what Wayne had to say regarding the I've been on that road.
As a person, so.
I've been on that road biking downhill. Scary than hell. Anyway, but how do you see that vis-a-vis the recommendation for the bike lanes?
Well, despite what he said, there are no studies that show that bike lanes are either more safe or less safe than roads that don't have them. There are no studies that conclude one is safer than the other. So, as a bike rider, I know that I never go 35 miles an hour Once on the Blue Ridge Parkway, I got up to 37, and I was terrified. And that was on my racing bike. So when I'm riding my commuting bike, I am not going that fast. I don't want to go that fast. So for me to be on the road and take the full lane with 25 angry cars behind me, I mean, that's what causes the congestion on Smith Level Road. If you put me over to the side and I feel like I can go at my own speed without the cars and trucks getting angry, I feel much safer. So it's a question of, it's not really a question of which is safer, but which is going to get more people out on their bikes on the road. And I think in that case that the bike lanes have a strong advantage.
There is one exception to that, is that I actually do ride over 35 miles an hour going down the hill. It does.
On Smith Level Road, you do.
Yeah. But I do think that in terms of the bike plan, we were talking about not having a bike lane going down the hill, but definitely having a bike lane going up the hill. I think that Heidi's exactly right. It's not a matter of whether it's safer or not. It's that people feel safer. And then I know that you know, you're supposed to have the right to be able to occupy a full lane, but you can't exactly discuss that with drivers all the time in an open kind of fashion. So, yes, it does make a lot of sense to keep him on no bike lane going down, but definitely a bike lane going up.
Okay, so you know what comes next, mm-hmm. right? So I bike out to the high school, you know. There is no internal greenway at this point that takes me to Jones Ferry. How do I bike back?
The same route, but it's just that one.
What I'm saying is, if you're not advocating for the lane being in the northbound,
mm-hmm. just on that one hill, I think that's what they ended up putting in the bike plan itself. So I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the specifics.
Okay.
I think that was the case.
We can find it.
But it would only be when you were on the side going downhill. Mm-hmm. On the way up, there's no,
right.
no discussion about that.
Not a problem, but.
It's only from DPW north.
Correct.
Okay.
Is there a Cheryl marking recommended going down? Or?
I think that's what the bike plan calls for. Yeah, I'm not sure it's what's in the DOT proposal, but that.
And some of the signage, too, like bike has the right to, like what Wayne picked up about, you can take the whole lane to alert the motorists if the cyclist does. You may see a cyclist.
Jackie.
Without exaggeration, I can say that children who were born when we first started working on this are in graduate school now, and that's not exaggerating.
No, because I have a child like that.
See? So I want to be real clear with you all and with the folks out here. Our choice is to take what DOT is offering or wait them out. We do not have the choice from DOT right now. They're not saying to us, you can have two lanes and sidewalks and bike lanes. So you all.
What do they say when we ask them that?
They said, you want to know what they said?
Yeah.
They said that's out of the question, that there are no highway engineers in the entire State Department. This is what they told me. In the entire State Department of Transportation who would be willing to put their engineering seal on it. And that if we. The only thing that they offered is that they'd be willing to abandon the road entirely, and that the town of Carrboro could simply take it over and take all responsibility.
So how did we talk them out of doing it on Main, Hillsboro, and Greensboro, which were the same situation? They said that we were going to need four lanes, and we got them not to give them to us. So how did we do that?
You were here, not me.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, I'm just trying to do some clarification with everybody here, and, you know, We're on your side, okay? That we could end up in a position for a while. I know everybody wants sidewalks and bike lanes, you know, before the next generation of graduate students is born. And it may be that if the board were to say we're not accepting this proposal from DOT, that we're not going to have those sidewalks and bike lanes for a while. It's going to make the wait even longer. I just want people to be really clear on that. And, you know, frankly, if we turn this down, and we don't get the sidewalks and the bike lanes, need to understand that it's not because we don't want them, okay? So coming in, kind of getting upset with us about sidewalks and bike lanes is going to be misdirected. Okay, I'm just trying to kind of clarify that to save myself from feeling really bad later on, okay?
Just to clarify that, we did consider that that was going to be the case.
Okay.
We looked at it, and there was a lot of discussion as to whether it was worth risking not having bike lanes, not
right.
having sidewalks. And we felt that there was going to be a whatever you gained, you would lose perhaps in terms of having to cross such a large
right.
street,
right.
and there really wouldn't be a chance to go back, because once you do go to four lanes, then that's that.
We get that. We just
yeah.
want to make sure that people understand who owns different policies, and what policies are the towns, and what policies are the states, and what policies we actually have control over. You know, we are not as powerful as we look. And I know we really look powerful, but we're not as powerful as we look. So I just want to be sure if people are really clear on that as we wait for what sound like some really exciting shifts going on in DOT. Thank you.
I just want to thank the TAB folks for coming tonight and clarifying the position. I know you guys really worked hard on your discussions and your deliberating on this issue, and have worked for a very long time, so we appreciate it.
And the only other comment I wanted to make, which I didn't talk to them about, so I'm not including them, but it was about the roundabouts. And I know that I hear people say they're not safe for kids to cross and everything, but there is a lot of data that shows that they are safer both for pedestrians and cars. However, when we envisioned a roundabout at that intersection, it was for a two-lane road,
yeah.
and we don't have that. There are also...
How do you mean it's not a two-lane road?
It's three lanes going up to it.
The approach.
Talking about the design.
The design of the road.
There's a center turn lane?
There is
there's
a...
There's a turn lane on the right turn lane.
There's a right turn school. Lane and
right,
then
yeah.
a... Yeah. There are also... In terms of roundabouts, there are a lot of places that have put them in that are now trying out a system. I think it's called the Hawk system, where they actually can stop all traffic for the pedestrians to go across. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's just something that is also evolving. And I just wanted to say that when we envision this roundabout, I mean, the strength of the roundabout is that it really slows the traffic down. And I'm not quite sure that they've designed it that way. But.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Come up, please.
My name is Julie Coleman, and I live at 809 Smith River Road. I'm your good neighbor, Carborough. I'm in Chapel Hill. As many of you know, Smith River Road is divided. Half is Chapel Hill, half is Carborough. I'm on a piece of property that is rural. My neighbors have chosen to make their properties rural. So the lot next to me, she could have done one house every 5 acres. Instead, she did three lots of 11 and a half acres each. So we're trying to stay rural. We have septic, and we don't have any of the urban water systems. Next to me is a 70-acre farm. So we've done our best to keep Smith Level Road as the entrance to Chapel Hill and Carborough as a beautiful entrance. And anybody coming from the Chatham area, 15501, that comes down that road and sees my field of bachelor buttons is enhanced. So if nothing happens, I want you to know I walk to Chapel Hill about once a week. And I know it very, very well. I am safer on a two-lane highway. If you go to four lanes, the huge problem is that they have not walked it. Because if you look at, I go across the street to Carborough High. And then as I'm going down, the next house has a small yard. And right after that is the kidney dialysis center. and I can't stay on the road. I have to go down a very steep embankment and walk right by their windows, which is fine. But I don't know where you're putting the sidewalk or where you're putting the road. There's nothing there. It'll have to go into their windows. And I never thought of anybody ever dying as a result of a U-turn. But I can tell you from personal experiences, a U-turn can be fatal. So I would not ever want to see U-turns on Smith River Road. Thank you.
I'd like to, I think that was it. Is that it?
Two more.
Three. Come on up.
I'm Livy Ludington, and I live on Ray Road, and I've been there since 1984. And we've been seeing DOT trying to bring this up really for almost, I think it's been almost 25 years. So I'm just hoping, maybe if I'm the last speaker, just to ask you to please just kill it and just let it be over with forever. And we'll see. I'm working on the Greenway Committee with some of you. We're going to have a greenway that will be coming along Morgan Creek. It'll help with some of the children getting to school. That's what we really want, is for it to be a safe place. And that's all. Please just let it go.
It seems like there aren't too many options that it seems like are being considered tonight. Or there are two, and one of them seems too extreme. Pretty much saying no to the DOT and not receiving the money and infrastructure that they'd be able to provide. But I would like to just remind everyone that we are living in very critical times. I'm coming from the global climate change perspective, where just last Friday, the EPA designated CO2 emissions as toxic or to be regulated. So I would take that and hope that the Board of Aldermen could consider that as a reason for not putting in infrastructure that pollutes and endangers future generations. Along with that, there's been a growing decrease in the amount of value of rural sprawl, and that's another major factor that I think the Board of Aldermen should consider. The DOT is saying that this is an expansion that is needed because 30 years from now, there's going to be that much more traffic. We may want to reconsider that, considering that there may not be that much traffic. The DOT is not does not have metrics through which they take those kinds of things into account. So I would encourage the Board of Aldermen to be courageous and step up and not accept this offer, and with the hope and understanding that the Department of Transportation is changing, according to what was presented tonight, into taking into account town concerns, citizen and grassroots concerns specifically. It's important to recognize that historically, I mean, this has been going on for so long, and it's incredible that we've been able to drag it out for this long. At one point, there was that third option of the two-lane curb, and that was in a Board of Aldermen request in 1999, where the staff came back with three options, one being a two-lane curb and a gutter facility with bike lanes and a sidewalk on both sides. And that was rejected because it was thought of as, due to projected traffic volumes, NCDOT did not consider the two-lane option reasonable. The four-lane and five-lane options would be presented at the citizen workshop. So that was cut out for citizens to consider, and I find that highly problematic if we're talking about democracy, where an option like that's not presented. And here we are again, bringing it up again, and it's for good reason. I mean, it's what it seems like we want. So I'll just leave that at that, and hope the right decisions made.
Tom, I had his hand.
I just have a question for Mr. Lewis. I can ask him after the meeting.
Thanks, Tom.
You don't want to get the last word, Tom? Since when?
He will.
I just have a question. Where are the Carrboro citizens that support this plan?
I'll go ahead and address that question. You know, I find this kind of a frustrating moment. I appreciate the points, and I agree with almost all of them that y'all have made. That I agree that four travel lanes are not needed on this road, and they're not wanted either. But I have to say that the most common question that I heard from people when I went around campaigning for office and knocked on doors in the Berry Hill neighborhood, the most common question that I had is, when will you ever build sidewalks on Smith Level Road? And the response I gave was, well, you know, we've been in this struggle for a long time with DOT about the number of lanes and you know, all the people who asked me about this said, psh, I didn't ask you about that. I said, when are you going to give me sidewalks on Smith Level Road so I can walk to Frank Porter Graham Elementary School? When I went and visited last at, I'm not sure the name of it, but it's, I think it's a Lutheran senior housing.
Shepherd House.
Last time I was at Shepherd House, the residents at the largest number of questions that residents at Shepherd House had for me as mayor was, why are we unable to walk anywhere from where we live? Why do we have to try to contend with walking on the grass or on the gravel shoulder of Smith Level Road in order to get somewhere? I get emails such as this. I'm a resident of Carrboro living in Kent Woodlands development. Over the past 9 years, I also work at the UNC Autism Center off of, that's near Carrboro High School. As you can imagine, I have plenty of opportunities to see students going to and from the new high school. As such, I've become extremely concerned about their safety. It's not uncommon to see groups of high school kids walking together in the street on their way to school in the morning or on weekends going to special events. I believe the reason they walk in the street is there are no sidewalks and it's too difficult to walk in the unlevel grass surface of the sides of Culbreth and Smith Level roads. This is clearly a perfect storm waiting to happen. In my view, it is inevitable that one of these kids will be hit by a car, and the lack of city planning and building sidewalks in this area will be blamed. I also feel strongly that sidewalks should be in place from the school to downtown Carrboro, another destination for many kids walking from the high school. Just last week, I saw an elderly gentleman carrying groceries while walking in the street on Smith Level Road. He undoubtedly had no other transportation to the grocery store. I feel strongly this is an urgent situation that requires action by the town of Carrboro. Here's another one. That was, by the way, that I received that email in over a year ago. I must warn you, this is another writer, I must warn you that if Smith Level Road is not widened and adjusted for pedestrians and easier homeowner access, there will be deaths as a result of the increased traffic. This will become very clear to you if you simply park at the gas station on the corner of 1551 and Smith Level Road. It's not a gas station, but whatever. It used to be a gas station a long time ago. Take a leisurely walk down Smith Level Road to Princeton Road. A little, I see kids. Oh, 55. He's talking way down there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see kids making that walk every day, and so on and so on. He feels it anyway. Pedestrian. It's at the other end of Smith Level Road, but. Thank you for taking the time. This is another email. Thank you for taking the time to discuss the condition of Smith Level Road on the westbound side between Rockhaven and Woodcrest Road. Because of the recent widening and paving required for the opening of Carrboro High, the road no longer has an adequate shoulder. I rode that section today, by bicycle in other words, Saturday, September 15th, and noticed tire tracks. Apparently cars are also having difficulty staying on the pavement. I appreciate any measures the town of Carrboro can take to improve the road as soon as possible. Another email. I'm writing as a resident of Kent Woodlands in Carrboro and a supporter of the plan for increased driving lanes, sidewalks, and bicycle lanes on Smith Level Road. Students are currently crossing Smith Level Road to get to the new high school through a wooded path that leads from our playground. This dangerous situation is almost certain to lead to an accident. We need attention to this area now. It is incredible to me that with the high taxes that we pay, we still do not have sidewalks accessing Frank Porter Graham School or our new high school. We cannot continue to tout our town as walkable or pedestrian-friendly until our schools are accessible by foot and bicycle. I guess I mention all that by way of saying I'm frustrated because there was an awful lot of rhetoric here tonight that suggests that this current situation is somehow safe, that the current situation is somehow acceptable, that it would be okay to wait another 20 years to have pedestrian improvements on Smith Level Road and Culberth Road, which this project does actually include a little bit of additional sidewalk on Culberth Road. I know I'm probably at this point in the minority on the Board of Aldermen, but I feel like the situation has got to be addressed. It is totally unfair and unrealistic to suggest that we would somehow use only local tax dollars to pay for sidewalks along there. It's a multi-million, just the sidewalks are a multi-million dollar project. And, I think the idea of having a four-lane road through there stinks. I think it's terrible. I think it's totally unnecessary. But I also think that it's totally unnecessary and totally unacceptable to go on for untold years on into the future having no sidewalks and no bike lanes along those roads. And I simply don't know. I don't know any way to resolve that issue except to hope that Austin Brown is right, that DOT is changing. I've been involved in local government for 18 years, and for 18 years people have stood up and told me that DOT is changing. I have seen some tiny changes over that 18-year period. One of those tiny changes I've seen is that they're now willing to consider including sidewalks and bike lanes in this project. I gotta, maybe you're right, and maybe DOT will change a lot more in the near future. But I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it.
I don't want to sound redundant, but I agree with everything the mayor said.
I think that's an awful high price to pay, though, for just to get sidewalks is to sell out that whole half a mile for five lanes. That's a poor $700.
It's really not fair to call it five lanes and at the same time pretend that what's there now is two lanes. And it's really not fair to suggest that the DOT profile will be ugly and unattractive without acknowledging how ugly and unattractive the current profile is. Tom Hines made this argument to me before. No, what we want is a beautiful, quiet city street, like a relatively quiet city street like Hillsborough Road or something like that in Carrboro. Well, the fact is, it's nothing like that now. Let me tell you what. Hold on one second. If you would, the public hearing is pretty much over, and it's time for the Board of Aldermen to discuss it. I would like to just for you, sir. Because you've had a couple of thoughts. Can I ask you to come up to the podium and be the very last person to address us from the public? Sure. If I can put you on the spot.
You have to be on the spot because that's your wife. My name is Anil Perez Silva, and I live in Berry Hill. I've lived in Berry Hill for 11 years now. I've lived in Carrboro for 17 totally. So The comment that I just made is that I work out of my house in Berry Hill. I drop my daughter off to Culbreth every morning at 8:15. That's about the only time that there is a surge of traffic on that stretch of Smith Level Road that constitutes the project that the boundaries that have been talked about today. And by that same token, the corresponding surge of traffic in the evenings between 5 and 5:30, and in general, any other time of day that you drive on Smith Level Road, at least that particular section from Frank Porter Graham up to Carborough High, there's very, very little traffic. There's really no justification in having, you know, a four-lane highway for the amount of traffic that you see on that road for basically 23 out of 24 hours during the day. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. Alderman, what's your pleasure about how we'll proceed here?
Yeah, okay, that's one way. You know, I was pretty much of the mindset, if I can characterize as the two mindsets that Mark expressed, which is wanting the improvements, concerned about the current situation, and really not happy with this proposal at the same time. And it really helped me, the fact that I'm liaison to the Transportation Advisory Board and sat in on those discussions, and I got to kind of play devil's advocate with those groups, with that group, in terms of these questions. And really hearing from the citizens tonight who are very clear about what Carborough's values are in regard to the kind of community we want to be and what that means in terms of transportation improvements. And we all know that. But for me, like being an alderman and sitting up here, when I hear that so strongly from citizens who've come out on an issue, that that's very, very powerful. And I guess where I come down on this is that I think that the four-lane segment is wrong. It's wrong in many, many ways that have been articulated tonight. It's a waste of money for the state. It's dangerous. It doesn't prioritize the safety of the school children, which I think ought to be our fundamental goal here, that we ought to be communicating over and over again to DOT as long as it takes. So, you know, we have a resolution for what we're going to put to DOT from tonight. And the only thing really that I'm interested in putting on that, and I'm not saying I won't support other ideas that others might have, but I want to echo the TAB members' request and the request of so many citizens that that four-lane section be removed and that it be a two-lane. No need for applause, because we'll have a diversity of opinion here, and all of which are worthy. And I'm not making that as a motion yet, because I want to hear what other people have to say. But that's kind of what I would be supporting coming out of this meeting.
All right, I'll go. You know, when the plan was first developing and being on a liaison to several of the boards, the advisory boards, I got to review it, and many of the concerns that folks expressed tonight and your emails that I've read them all, even though I couldn't respond to many. You know, we hear you, and we recognize this from the very early stages. Very honestly, and folks, I feel like my back is against the wall. You know, DOT, you know, has a very particular way of addressing these issues. What's hard for me as somebody who bikes and runs is to relinquish the sidewalks and the bikeways. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but I really, my discomfort with the four lanes, my discomfort with the median in front of Berry Hill was right from the get-go, because I know, were I to live in Berry Hill, you know, or anywhere right there, I would be cutting through. And so there's the simple things that for me, are problematic. And I appreciate what the citizens have shared. I appreciate the TAB and their considered opinion, their reflection. And I feel, quite frankly, that as technologies and as changes occur over the next few years, you know, maybe the kind of thinking that is creating plans like this will shift. I can only hope that, because I really feel that this plan is so vehicle preferred that it is not targeting the things that we want to see happen. So I would, you know, Mark, I really appreciate what you said. You clarified some things that I think were really important to share. In balance, would I give up the bikeways and the sidewalks? I think I would have to, and I'd be willing to go right back out to the public and say, well, you know, this is how you lost the sidewalks, this is how you lost the bikeways, but this is what you have. So that's where I'm going to stand.
I think in reading the report over the weekend, the thing that bothered me over and over again was that their projections for 2030 are, they don't include anything about alternative transportation or about people stopping using just one car. And if you keep doing that, that's how people are going to act. And then I get to the price tag, which has grown to $6.7 million almost. And I think, what else could you do with $6.7 million to decrease the number of people going down that road? I do not like the roundabout being a step-parent to young drivers. I just think it would be too much fun. You know? Sorry, girls. It really bothers me, but we desperately need at least sidewalks there. We really, really need sidewalks there. I'm not going to support it. I don't like the four-lane part. To me, it's just like a road-to-nowhere kind of weird thing. But we do need something. So we're going to have to really push DOT to give us the money for sidewalks, at least. We do not have the money for sidewalks. We cannot afford that unless you would like to each make private contributions. It's not there. DOT is the only ones that can afford projects of that scale. So I'm not happily voting against that, you know, but I just think it you plan for things to continue as they are, and things will continue as they are, and so I'll stop continuing. Yeah.
I'm going to be brief. I did not think it was a good design when it was presented in 1999. I didn't think it was a good design 2 years ago. I have some problems sort of with the data that they're projecting with the increase, given the fact that once you pass, I think it's the dialysis, you do get to very much more a rural character, because I have driven that road before going to and from Chatham County Court in Pittsboro, and also driven it going to the zoo with my children. So I'm very familiar with the road, and I just don't think it was good planning initially, and I know the mayor and I disagree about this, but I think we should just, it may take us longer than we like, but I think we just need to go back to DOT. You know, I've seen things that happen in my lifetime that I never thought I'd live to see. So,
well, one time Joel and I agreed on something, for example.
I guess we got a choice between our safety and our values. And for engineers at DOT, for engineers at DOT, this is the way they see to promote safety and they can make us safer. And in their eyes, they look at an accident waiting to happen, but also from our values, that we want a walkable and more livable community. And we don't want a four-lane highways. We see the status quo as the safest way to live. And I just hope that, you know, for some folks, it might be a matter of time before, you know, accidents begin to happen if we keep it the way it is. And engineers will come back and say, we told you so, and you have to expand that stuff if you want accidents to stop happening, and we probably will end up doing that in the future. But also, I know we need to fight for our values, and I think this community doesn't support that plan, and I currently don't support the plan as it is, but I do want folks to understand that I do believe I have a, as Alderman Brown said, we had seen things in this country change, and I do believe that even North Carolina is changing when it comes to issues of climate change and other things. So I hope that, I mean, I'm willing to lose that money that can help us build the sidewalks and the bike lanes that we all want, and hopefully get a design that we want. But currently, I want you to know that we might never get them anytime soon, or we can get them with raised taxes, which nobody likes. So those are choices that we will be faced for our own safety. We will pay one way or another, even politically, by rejecting this project, we will pay with DOT. So, you know, we should do what the people of Carrboro wants. Thank you.
Dan.
Yeah, having heard everyone, I'm ready to move attachment A, and I'd like to add two whereases. One would be, whereas Carrboro Vision 2020 includes, and that would be the language that was in the TAB presentation, that, what was that clause?
4-4-1?
Yeah. So I don't have that in front of me, yeah. But I'm sure the clerk knows where it is, and everyone knows what I'm referring to. And I would also like to add a whereas the Carrboro Board of Aldermen places a priority on the safe and extensive use of the walk zones for Carrboro High School and Frank Porter Graham. And then under the comment that I want to include under therefore be it resolved, that we urge the Department of Transportation to drop the four-lane segment and plan a two-lane road with bicycles, cross lanes, and turn lanes where needed.
Second. Yeah.
Bicycle sidewalks and yeah.
Dan, can you read that again? Your first one especially.
The first whereas that I added was reference to the Vision 2020, right. Item 4-21. I think they said it was. We can get
four,
that back
four,
up on
441.
441. Mm-hmm. Should we get that back up there?
So, but just to be real clear, what you're moving is attachment A, and it will say that what we want is two lanes with sidewalks and bikeways, but we do not want four lanes, right?
Right. Right. I said specifically removing the four-lane section.
And he included turning lanes.
I don't see...
Turning lanes were needed, correct.
Yeah, maybe it'd be helpful to use the term travel lanes or...
I'm wondering which attachment A.
Which attachment A?
Because we have several attachment As.
Oh, I only have one, a resolution on the preliminary design of Smith Level Road.
Okay.
To project U2803. Do I have another one that I don't know about?
No, I guess this is it.
Yeah.
Resolution 0720829.
Okay. It just says submit the following comments, but it's basically blank so that we can fill in what the comments are.
Okay, so dropping four lanes.
Which is what Dan was doing.
Yeah, and I was adding a couple of whereases that I want, that I would like communicated to the Department of Transportation as part of this.
Well, I think this gives the Department of Transportation a great opportunity.
And it is saying that we do not want four lanes.
Right. It says that we urge the Department of Transportation to drop the four-lane section and prepare a design with two travel lanes, turning lanes where necessary, and bike lanes and sidewalks.
Okay.
And, okay, section 4.41, as a general policy, established roads should be widened to accommodate bike lanes and sidewalks, but not to provide additional lanes for automobiles.
Okay.
Lydia.
Well, I guess the point I'd like to make is, I mean, I'm completely in support of that resolution, and I'm completely in support of almost everything I heard here tonight. But as I understand it, it's all or nothing. So, you know, we can make this resolution, I guess, just as we go down in flames. Is that what we're saying?
Yep.
I think so.
Well, and there's, you got to have some hope that things... No, I mean, that there is a ground shift going on, along with ground moving in DOT, and...
Well, the point is that, I would vote for this resolution, but I want to be clear that, I'm disappointed that, we're not going to see, we're not going to see sidewalks or bike lanes anytime soon. As John said, it's...
That's a good price.
Well, but maybe we'll have the opportunity to follow up with the DOT leaders that Austin mentioned from, what was it, yesterday's event, is that right? And that, in fact, maybe. Was Congressman Price attending at that event? So there may even be an opportunity that he would advocate with them as his presenters on our behalf as well, or certainly our legislators.
Save them. If they really do this all over the state, they're going to save a lot of money that they could then use on greenways or buses or...
This is by no means disagreeing with your point, because I think that's exactly what we will have to do is take up our case with the higher powers at DOT. but I think, realistically, this is a $7 million project or something, and at least as it's currently proposed. And I think, DOT is eager to find funds to spend on building a beltline around Fayetteville or something, or building a new driveway for Federal Express or whatever. Why not? What are we up to? 540 now over in Raleigh? There's actually $7 million available to do this project here and now, and that money will definitely not be spent on bike lanes, on sidewalks, on buses, if we reject the Smith Level Road. What it'll be spent on is these other types of projects that are and maybe one day some other money will be available for us to use, but.
Understood.
That's pretty.
We understand.
That was my reaction when Jackie said, "What great things can we do with this $6.7 million?" I said, "We know what they're going to do with it.
We can't do any great things with it."
Yeah,
but anyway,
Barbara, could you break?
Yeah, we could if we had it, but we don't.
But But we can all protest that. And I don't just mean this board. I mean the people in Carver that are ticked off about this, they can all write letters and they can all call people and they can all make a stink. You know, and if enough people are saying, don't use this money you're going to use for us to do something else stupid, do something smart, you know, then maybe that'll have effect. It's because people just go, oh, that's the way it is, that, right. You know, right. Direct that energy to somebody else other than us.
I think there's a Dr. Yeah. Seuss book about that.
I'm sure there is.
There is, and it's very good.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. just because DOT doesn't respond to your email doesn't mean you should stop. You know, somebody had mentioned that.
Who they work
and the
for.
Legislators,
they did,
exactly.
They did, by and large, respond to the email. They didn't say much. But,
and Beth Perdue, right. Who also works for us along with the highway.
Exactly.
Sarah, is the motion core to you?
I seconded it already.
I think okay. Good.
Both can be a joint.
All right. The resolution has been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The matter passes 6-1.
Go write your letters.
Yeah. Okay.
Perhaps we need to be privy to this upcoming meeting where DOT is supposedly considering the comments from this evening. But according to the board, it said that they already have plans to acquire land in 09 and start building in 11. We need to know about this meeting.
We can inquire about it, but I can tell you honestly, you know, I think when DOT has internal meetings, they're probably closed door meetings by and large, and we don't really have a lot of say so about that, nor necessarily any knowledge of exactly what
Steve,
it is.
Excuse me, Steve.
Okay, well, we will
talk to that.
Yes,
Steve, could you, if you could ask Adina to find out whether or not that meeting's open to the public. And if it is, we have the email addresses for a number of people who are here tonight who've emailed us, and we could let them know those details. Okay.
And just a quick question. Some of us had questions here. So now that you guys have voted this down, does that mean that the eminent domain purchase and other things, that that's a no-go?
I think you'd have to ask
DOT.
Yeah, I have to ask DOT. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean...
It means we don't want it.
Yeah,
they can do anything they want. They're the government.
And absolutely, you know, share your concerns on, you know, to the next level. You know, I mean that's really important.
I don't think we've any of us have found ourselves in exactly this position before, and I don't know. So we'll see. We'll try to share. Whatever information we've got about how this process is going to move from here. Thanks very much for coming out tonight. Are there any other matters from the staff? Are there any matters from the board?
Just one thing.
Yes,
I went to the Board of Commissioners meeting and spoke in favor of keeping both libraries open. So what I would like to do is for us to sometime is... Dan had suggested that we have a discussion about it and then write them a letter, because I told them a letter would be forthcoming. So, I mean, I think, you know. The other thing that the Friends of the Carborough Library asked during, because I know they're out on Carborough Day, that the board members take time to stand next to them, because they're going to be asking for a petition for people to sign during Carborough Day about the libraries and keeping them both open. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. So go hang out at the table.
Yeah, yeah. They really need our help. That's
okay.
What I've been hearing.
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's the thing.
Two quick comments. One is I'm going to be out of town that weekend, y'all, so I'm going to miss Carborough Day. Sorry.
Okay.
We'll be hiking the Appalachian Trail.
You want
and
to still postpone it?
I wish you would. But secondly, since we don't have a meeting for a couple of weeks, should we start a draft of a letter maybe? Or is that something we should just talk about and then after that come up with that?
Well, we have plenty of time.
Yeah, we have
some
time.
The commissioner's schedule.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Because they're not going to make any decision, I think, before the 15th.
Okay.
And I do understand that there's the next Assembly of Governments meeting is going to be a discussion just about library services in the county and how, with the limited resources that we have, we can provide it in a better way.
Yeah, that would be in, like, September or something.
Right.
It's more of a long-term
vision
kind of discussion.
Right, yeah.
We're going to attempt this. Valerie and Kevin and I discussed that as a proposed topic for the next Assembly of Governments meeting, and the thought was to put together a couple of different scenarios that we would ask the staffs to produce to give kind of some straw persons, straw libraries to just explore. So, for example, the kind of thing might be what if Chapel Hill doesn't build an addition to their library, the county does build a branch downtown, or, you know, various other scenarios like that.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, just two things. On the library, I've asked commissioners to look into the I was on the library task force last year, and Mike Nielsen and I promoted the earmarking of $3 million towards a Southwest branch library. But I've asked that they check that after that was recommended, that it conveyed to their capital improvement plan. So hopefully, before we look to draft a letter, we'll have some information to know for certain that the those funds are still earmarked for the Southwest Branch Library. One more, and that's tomorrow's Earth Day, and I hope everyone's going to take advantage of celebrating it. And I believe is Saturday the day that they're looking at the 1 hour lights off.
I thought we did that last month.
Yeah, but they're doing it to celebrate Earth Day now. That was the worldwide, but there was.
Got to do it twice.
So I think there's a.
Gotta be in the dark.
I think there's a cell. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So. And actually, I think President Obama was the one who talked about it. It's Monday night. So.
We can turn them off at like 2 or something.
One.
That's like 8 to 9.
So.
8. Yeah. Something.
We advise everybody to Google this matter.
Yeah. Google it.
That one last thing I want to bring up, and we don't necessarily have to spend a lot of time on it right now, but I just wanted the board to begin to think about it. But my understanding is that the county commissioners are right now looking at selling 4 properties in Orange County that they currently own, and that one of those properties is the Homestead Road Community Center.
That's right.
I wanted to. I don't have a strong opinion about the question of whether they should do that or not. They're the ones in the best position to decide about that. However, I wanted to suggest to the board that that is in our planning jurisdiction, maybe within the town limits of Carrboro. I'm not sure, but
It fronts Lake Hogan Farms.
Well,
the neighborhood on the other side's not in Carrboro town
Drew
limits,
Lane.
But
Stony Hill, biggest voting.
Or whatever.
No, Drew Lane is immediately next to it.
Drew Lane, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Anyway, my point is just that if in fact they are planning, if in fact they choose to sell that site, I think it's an appropriate location for a neighborhood commercial type of use in the future. And so I believe that the board should look at the question of rezoning it from, I'm pretty sure it's some kind of low-density residential zoning right now. I also think that if the public is going to sell it, that the public might as well get top dollar for it. And that somebody, I would hate for somebody to come in and pay some low price for it and then come here and ask us to rezone it and have this big windfall to an investor when it should be, if it's going to happen, it should happen, should the windfall should be for the taxpayers of Orange County. So anyway, just
good thinking.
Would like y'all to consider that.
Yeah, it's about 2.4 acres from what I understand.
Moved and seconded that we adjourn. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Not a press unanimously. Thanks very much.